welcome to another offering of Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, channel for the Council of Love and author of The New You, Emerging into the Brilliance of Humanity's Heart Consciousness, and myself, Suzanne Maresca. Today we're honored to welcome Ashira to our show, Commander of the Unified Forces of the Outer Galaxies. It's not a title one uses every day in our reality just yet, but I'd love to think that it soon will be. Today we'll be getting an update on current events, as well as the galactic perspective on the state of collective human consciousness. Feel free to join us with your questions and comments by calling 323-784-9697 and press 1 so I know you'd like to come on the air with us. We'll continue taking callers by area code, so when we're ready to start doing that, I'll say your area code and bring you on the air. I'm just so excited to have this opportunity, and the questions I have would take so much more than one show, but I'll try to be reasonable about it. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Susie, and good morning, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Yes, I'm excited about today's show, too. It's like getting to talk with my family, so,
yeah.
And I'm sure that many of our listeners feel that way, whether you're an Earth Keeper or a hybrid or a starseed, that we really know that our star brothers and sisters are part of our galactic family.
Very much. And here and present and just as excited to interact with us as we are with them.
Yes, they are, and they do. And they probably do in a lot of ways that we're simply not cognizant of. But one of the things that I find exciting is, as you know, well, as probably everybody listening knows, is that I am doing a webinar series called The New You. But one of our, we have a forum that we talk on every day about, you know, our progress and our issues and what our themes are. But there's been this wonderful thread on the forum right now of people discussing all their interactions and their meetings and their greetings with star beings. And I am just amazed and somewhat surprised at how probably the majority of this group has had experiences and current interactions with our star brothers and sisters. And I think it's far more common than people think.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't always identify it as such.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't come across too many people that are... Well, there's only one I can think of is the receptionist at my chiropractor's office. I asked her if she'd ever thought about extraterrestrials, and it was just a flat no. And, you know, like anything that was outside of her current reality, she just didn't want to know about. But other than that, people are like, yeah, I've thought about it, and I don't think that they're scary. And I think that there's far more openness to it than, like you said, than many people actually think.
You know, I am... I'm probably going to get the numbers wrong, but it's certainly going to be a close approximation. In the past year, I think it was the Gallup poll, you know, they poll on all kinds of different issues, and they did a poll on did people believe in angels and did people believe in extraterrestrials.
Mm-hmm.
And for the extraterrestrials, it was something like 80%. And
ooh,
even an amazing number like, 40 or 50% believed that they had seen a starship or had an encounter. And for the angelics, the number was way up in the 90s. So
ooh,
that just, you know, in a, well, what we would call, or what they would probably call, we would call forever, and they would call brief period of time. But if you'd asked that question 10 years ago, I think the answer would have been substantially different. But most people, you know, when you really talk to them seriously about it, is that they think, well, it just seems highly unlikely that we would be alone in the universe. It's just
well,
that simple.
Yeah. It is. And when you're saying 10 years ago, gosh, 10 years ago, I probably was open to the idea because it just makes sense. But, God, I feel like I knew nothing 10 years ago.
I know. It's
I mean,
changed
now,
so much. Did Did you see there was something recently that was going around either on Facebook or social media? There's been an announcement in the past week by NASA that they have, quote-unquote, discovered something like 760 new planets.
Oh, I saw that.
In our galaxy, and I'm thinking, And people think, well, you know, there's not life anywhere, and we already know everything that's in our galaxy, let alone our universe. And it's like we haven't even begun to scratch the surface.
Yeah.
And that's okay, but I think this is a very exciting time to be alive because what we're going to learn from our galactic and intergalactic friends is going to be phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm so looking forward to it. And in the interest of that, I don't know, are we going to do a meditation today, a short one, and get right into it? Because there's so much to talk
about. Let's do a very brief meditation. Just to set the tone.
Okay.
But I'd also, before we even go into meditation,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to give you the girlfriend scoop.
Oh, yay.
On Ashira, because I know that you're going to have many questions for him.
Right.
And being a Starfleet commander,
mm-hmm.
he tends to be low-key.
Okay.
But this is a being that isn't simply a commander of a single ship, but he is a Starfleet commander of the unified forces of the outer galaxies. And what the outer galaxies means is literally the very distant galaxies. So not merely this galaxy, but galaxies from billions of miles away. And there are thousands and thousands of ships.
Mm.
And that's what he's basically in charge of. Not just the few ships that are, well, few, hundreds actually, that are circling our planet, but the whole fleet.
Mm.
And, yeah, so it's a real privilege that he's coming to talk to us. Now the girlfriend part. And I'm sure that Ashira is certainly, he's sitting right here listening, but he is drop-dead gorgeous.
Ooh.
So for everybody who's listening, he appears in a humanoid form. He is of the Hussian race. And when you think of the Hussians, they are very cat-like.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the son of Grenner of Ashira of Neptune.
Okay.
And he assumed this role as Starfleet commander, oh gosh, maybe 15 of our years ago.
Okay.
And I know I've often teased him, saying, you know, he got the job because of his father. But he didn't. He earned it.
Oh.
When Grenner went to be the head of the Intergalactic Council, of which the reason he went to do that was to oversee Earth's initiation, Gaia's initiation, into that council and to help steer that process for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But he, think of a young Omar Sharif, dark hair, dark eyes, very Bedouin looking, and you
wow.
have Ashira. So
very
he's,
nice.
Yes, very, very nice, and we're very lucky to have him. So with that, we'll go to our meditation.
Okie dokie, thank you.
But I always find that it's nice. We do it with the archangels, but it's fun to give our listeners a visual, or at least to share a visual of what it is that I get to see.
Yeah.
So, all right. Last week we worked with our chakras, and we've been talking a lot about the different rays. And if you remember, my friends, there is a chakra that's at the base of your rib cage, just below your heart, and it's called halion. And halion is this wonderful color of mint green, a little pink, electra, as in the planet, electra and electric blue, and it swirls and it moves. Once upon a time, halion was a planet, and that's one of the star groups that we work with, actually, is the halion engineers, who are builders and constructors of all kinds of things. But what I thought we'd do for our meditation, to work with that chakra, because this chakra is our bridge to our star brothers and sisters. So, away we go. Everybody, relax. Sink into your chair, your bed, the floor, your car seat, wherever you are. And let go of the week, of your to-do list, and just thank yourself taking this time for you, for your spiritual self, for your emotional self, for your mental self. And anchor in your heart. And take a nice deep breath of that wonderful color, that ray called halion, that sweet mix of mint green and electra blue. And let's throw in some blue diamond . And Archangel Uriel is asking to add some of his silver flame. And feel this chakra at the base of your rib cage. And breathe it in. And smell the mint and taste the mint. And feel yourself sinking down, still anchored in your heart, but sinking down to this chakra point. And feel it open. And feel that there's a spiral coming out of your body, out of this chakra, a beautiful, brilliant, multicolored, multi-ray spiral. And it's spiraling out from you, out through the room, through the roof of your house or your building, up into the sky, all the way to your star brothers and sisters. All the way to the Neptune, to that massive mothership, of the unified forces. And as you're spiraling out, feel yourself traveling on that spiral. Let's bilocate. So feel your energy following the spiral further and further out past the blue dome of the sky into what you think of as deep space. And there in the distance, getting closer and closer, is this massive ship. And you see the doors opening and the welcome committee hugging you, two fingers to the heart, and taking you on board. And rather than taking you to the reception area, you look into their smiling eyes. They ask you, what do you want to see first? Is it the nursery school or the healing chambers or the flight deck, the gardens? You get to choose. And simply go. Go exploring. Know that you're anchored to Gaia and that you can come back this beautiful spiral into your Halion chakra when you choose. Greetings. I am Ashira.
Electric.
I am Ashira of Neptune. Welcome. And thank you, and I bring you greetings. I bring you greetings and salutations, blessings from the unified forces of the outer galaxies, from all of the star fleets, from the council, and I mean the Intergalactic Council. And I welcome all of you, and I thank you. Dear friends, dear family, for inviting me this day, for it has been some time since we have had this opportunity to speak. I come to you this day not only as Commander-in-Chief, not to speak merely of technology or the workings of our fleet. I come to you as brother, and I come to you with open heart and open hands to speak to you, one heart to another. We are not some distant entity. We are not angels. We are not ascended masters. Have we evolved? Yes. And because we have been through our own evolution process, might I suggest to you that we are very close to you and we understand. And might I even say empathize with your evolution process. You, my beloved friends of Gaia, are doing magnificently. Whether it is Michael or the Mother, Saint Germain or Maitreya, the message that all of us bring is and needs to be consistent. We're very big, by the way, about consistency. And so we consistently tell you, yes, by way of encouragement, but also by way of fact, you are doing magnificently. Is there still war and chaos and mayhem, starvation and rape and pillage? Yes. But the hearts of humanity, which is truly the measure, is changing. It is altering, it is evolving, it is rising up collectively and individually. You are embracing what you know as divine qualities. You are adhering and working with the law. It is very easy. And trust me, we've been there. It is too easy to point to what is wrong. But it is more important to pay attention and to build on what is right, what is working, what is beautiful, what is worthwhile, what fills your heart. We are in cooperation with you. There has been a fair amount of discussion, both here on Heavenly Blessings, which we all listen to, by the way, as well as Hour with an Angel, as well as Cosmic Vision News, as well as your new offerings, and your old offerings. We are always tuned in. We have listened to your discussions with interest, with empathy, with excitement on divine partnership and union. So this is where I wanted to begin today. If you'll permit me, Suzanne.
Absolutely.
And it was to mention and to give you a glimpse to share our perspective. And that is that we are in sacred union with you.
Yay.
Yes. Yay.
Yay.
The partnership and the love, known and unknown, experienced and yearned for. The love that we share, the partnership that we share, is cherished and valued by us. We don't view this, our relationship, as something that we could ever simply abandon, lose our tempers, pick up and leave. We've been at this too long. And we know you individually and collectively. We know you too well. Many of us, as many of you who are listening, know that we are in individual sacred union with you as well. But in the bigger sense, the bigger picture, part of our mission, but also what we collectively and individually have chosen to do. Yes, as our mission and purpose, as our service to the mother. But you know, you don't wake up in the morning and say, how am I going to serve the mother in an esoteric way? It is very practical. You get up, you put on your clothes, you either drink some tea, coffee, or water with lemon, and then you think, what am I going to do today? It is very similar with us. The backdrop to our existence and to our lives is our projects, our relationship with you. It's not something that we get up and we think about. Well, we don't really have to sleep anyway, but that's a whole other discussion that we will probably touch on. But we don't get up and think about, how am I going to serve the mother? Is it part of our consciousness? Of course it is. But it's a given. We are with you. We are with you. We love you, and we're not going anywhere. And we will wait and wait and wait. And if you think you've been frustrated, you should talk to some of my crew. We will wait till the time is right for full exposure. But you know, there are so many instances of what you think of as exposure. And then there are very convenient memories, individual or media memories of what we would call. But anyway, I digress. Where would you like to start?
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much. And I do want to say from my heart, selective, is that the right way to say it?
Yes.
Oh, beautiful. Well, I'm so happy to be able to thank you in person for all that you and the rest of our star family has done and continue to do on behalf of Gaia and humanity. I wish I could hug you right now, and in lieu of that, I'll just offer my heartfelt greetings and love, along with those of the team, both for Enlight Radio and the Golden Age blog. I'm very excited to have this conversation. And there's so many things I want to get to, but first I would like to get these pressing things out of the way. There's a great deal going on currently that we are aware of, but the most interesting things seem to be the ones that are beyond our understanding. It occurs to me that you may have limitations about what you can reveal to us at this time, but I would love to hear what you can say about the missing Malaysia Airlines Flight 370.
It was not interdimensional slippage.
Mm.
And it was not they were not taken by us.
Oh.
So let us be very clear. We would not do that, not at this point, because from our perspective, that would be seen as an act of war or terrorism. We would not break that many hearts.
Okay.
So what happened was that there was an explosion, and the ship went down.
Okay.
Could we have saved it? There are certain things that we are not permitted to interfere with.
Right.
But let us also, now this is what we can say, on that ship, was taken care of.
Okay. All right. I know that there's lots of people that are going to want me to dig for detail on that, but I'm going to trust that you've given us what you can, so we'll just leave it at that.
There were people on there that, now we have also, and when I say we, I mean we, the intergalactics,
mm-hmm.
but I also mean Archangel Michael and several of your ascended masters, who are also our ascended masters, by the way. Is that not a question? Do we work with the same ascended masters? Yes, we do.
Yeah. Yes.
Do we work with a broader spectrum? Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
But there were many upon that ship who, as a collective, and this is something that often happens, is there is a group soul, whether you realize it or not, who have agreed to leave together. Now, those who did not want to pass from their form were beamed up.
Mm. Okay. All right. Thank you for that. All right, so the next pressing current event thing is the situation in the Ukraine. It's also captured the attention of the world, and of course there's a huge amount of speculation as to the significance and truth of what's really going on there. Of course, you may be restricted in what you could say about that too, but have the Russians been providing the open door for contact between the people of Earth and extraterrestrials?
The Russian people have been given historically and currently enormous openings and opportunity to be a point of contact.
Okay.
And a point of opening between the various fleets and humanity. Now, our, what you can think of, and you are speaking to me now as commander,
mm-hmm.
what you would call commander-in-chief, we have intervened as much as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Not because we are acting in ways that are making contact with the Russian people, but in ways to prevent brutality. What is going on with Russia, the Ukraine, the Crimea? And we cannot leave China out of this mix. And the United States of America, for that matter. What is going on is ego. And it is the flexing of ego muscles, national ego muscles. There is not a sacred cause behind this.
Oh.
Now, one of the things that we keep saying, and one of the reasons why we have not, as you would like put it, landed on the White House lawn,
mm-hmm.
is that we are not going to engage in drama. There will be enough drama. We will not engage in the warlike behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are not going to make what you have termed disclosure or arrival or our presence known other than in ways of protection and intervention. We are not going to do that as a reward for war. So this is not about Russia making way for us. We are quite capable of making way for ourselves.
Oh,
Russia has been offered this opportunity time and time and time again, and we are still very optimistic that they will take us up on it. But this situation that is going on right now,
mm-hmm.
it is a clearing of old, very old, almost archetypal behaviors on the part of human beings.
Oh, okay.
You see, one of the things that we foresee and one of the things that was pivotal and is pivotal about Gaia becoming a full member of the Intergalactic Council, which is not made up of this nation state or that nation state. They are planetary. They are galactic. So this behavior and this warring allegiance to a nation state is very foreign to us.
Right.
So while we honor and on board ship and throughout the fleet, we have hundreds of different, what you would think of as cultures, heritages, nationalities, planetary shapes, biological systems. But it would never dawn on us not to honor the culture or the customs or the way of communication, but the attachment, in the most positive sense of the word, the loyalty is to the galaxy, is to the one,
mm-hmm.
not to this or that power structure. That is truly the oldest, most archaic paradigm there is. You might as well be talking about monarchies.
Okay. All right. Can you say anything about the cigar-shaped craft that was filmed in the area?
That's us.
All right.
That is one of our ships.
Okay.
And as we say, we are intervening.
All right.
And we are making our presence known. We have been very clear that we will not allow violence to escalate beyond a certain level. Now, we know that humanity is working out collectively many issues, many false grids, paradigms, false belief systems, vasanas. You have a million terms for one thing. But that is good and that is fine. That is like a rebellious teenager trying to find their center and their sense of self. But we are simply giving a very gentle reminder that there is a greater force to be reckoned with.
Yes, indeed.
And we do not mean in any way, shape, or form of violence.
Mm-hmm.
We don't use violence. What we have found over thousands and thousands of years, violence doesn't work. It only begets violence.
Indeed. And I will say thank you from my heart and from the collective heart of humanity, if I may, for all the work that you've done. Once again, it's just so appreciated. And there's so much that we don't know about what you do. It's just, you know, it's all with love, and I just really appreciate it. Could you tell me if there's a pyramid there?
Yes, there is.
Okay. How does it figure into the current situation? Or does it?
It has been there for a long time.
Wow.
There are pyramids more pyramids than you know all over your planet.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are also what we would call generators, generator crystals,
yeah.
Points of convergence. What the pyramids are for, they are, think of them as points or coordinates on the grid,
mm-hmm.
and they are energy generators. Now, there is a trend that we have noted amongst many of our beloved light workers to talk about free energy. Energy has always been free.
Mm-hmm.
It is only part of the old paradigm that people are actually charging and paying for the resources of Gaia. It is quite peculiar.
Mm-hmm.
But what these pyramids, people tend to think of pyramids as sacred places, and they are, but they are not burial places. They are not necessarily places of riches. They are energy generators.
Mm. Oh.
So that is what it is there for, and one of the backstories, as you would call it, for the pyramid in the Crimea is simply that there is a misunderstanding that perhaps they can harness that energy and use it and sell it. That is not the point.
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't want to get to this question until later because there's so many other things, but I had a vision maybe last week sometime that the pyramids are very much like light ships in that they're comprised of a collective consciousness and they basically assemble themselves. I would love to have an entire show devoted to the subject of ancient Egypt. Is that something that you or one of your colleagues might be interested in joining us for a show or two on?
Yes, we would be delighted to.
Awesome.
And I will tell you that you are correct, but incomplete.
Okay.
Can I suggest that?
Yes.
That, yes, the pyramids, think of them also, as we have said, they are energy generator points on the grid. And now we are talking not just the grid of Gaia, but intergalactically. They, just like the crystals that have been embedded and that Gaia has so graciously shared with us, they are energy generators. But below many of the pyramids of various kinds, including some of the ancient mounds,
mm-hmm.
is there are energy plates. And they will play a very big role, not only in future energy for the planet, clean energy for the planet, but also in the cities of light.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you shake your head, for example, under Giza, and you say, if there is a huge, your closest reference point would be a nuclear generator, but it is not. Underneath the sands, how has it not been detected?
Right.
Well, we have many ways in which to shield. And
yeah.
We do.
Yeah, I'm sure. I imagine so. I would have some more questions about you, actually, and I wonder if we should do that in this show or we can devote an entire show on life on board ship. Do you have biological families? How different is Earth from a really huge ship and things like that?
I would be pleased to talk about this It is your show, dear heart. You decide.
Oh, there's so much. All right. Well, if you would agree to come back.
I will agree to come back.
That's wonderful. Okay, so here's a good one. The people in my admittedly unusual circle and actually well beyond are enthusiastically looking forward to having in-person contact with our galactic family. Even just having a conversation like this is wildly exciting because the anticipation of meeting up is just beyond description. I'm feeling a similar desire from you guys, and I get that you all have been waiting way longer than we have for reunion, like you said. The technology and sharing of information is all very nice, but there's so much more to look forward to. So my question is, what needs to take place before ships can land and we can have our conscious face-to-face connections?
You are correct insofar as we have been waiting a lot longer than you.
Yeah.
But you know, it isn't a contest.
Right.
And it isn't a contest because also our interdimensional, transdimensional experience of time is somewhat different than yours. It is not that we do not understand your 24-hour, 7-day, monthly cycles of time. Of course we do. But our perception of time, the passage of time, and how we measure time is somewhat different. The technology that we will bring to Earth is like hors d'oeuvres. It is not the main event.
Okay.
What we look forward to is a reunion.
Yes.
I know the yearning of your hearts. I know the yearning of your souls. And I know the yearning, and yes, in certain situations, the impatience of many of you, and certainly of my fleet. And that is one of the reasons why we already have had so many beings on the ground, basically preparing the way. Now, many of you have had experiences where you have encountered a star brother or sister or friend. But what has to happen? We are not asking, nor are we waiting for all of you to be saints, to be living completely in the divine qualities. We are not waiting for ascension. But there are certain vibrations that need to be compatible. And it's a love vibration.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't mean romantic love or even familial love. But there does need to be a vibration of love that is high enough so that we can meet in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
It is more than just that we abhor violence, nastiness,
mm-hmm.
greed. We're working on your control issues. If there is one thing that we are truly working on your recalcitrant groups on, it is control. So it needs to be that there is a place where we can meet. And it is not merely an interdimensional meeting place. Gaia is quite firmly ensconced in the fifth. And most of you are, by the way, as well. You're just not fully aware of it.
Right.
But have you ever gone to a gathering or a party or a situation where you walk in and the energy is so discordant, you don't even take time to identify it.
Yeah.
It is just that there is a danger flashing light and you know, I better get out of here.
Yeah.
That's what it is for us.
Okay.
Now, we have had, and I might say some of our most adventurous troops, have taken up residence. Some back and forth, but some permanent. Well, they get leave, they get to come back. But they are taking up residence on Gaia. And not only are they adjusting to the vibration or frequency, that is often why when they first, what you would call land, they come to less populated areas. Because the energy density is not as thick, as discordant.
Right.
But they are adjusting and they are migrating to the places of chaos.
Yeah.
And what they are doing on behalf of not just you, Fog, but of many of the fleets, is that they are attuning not only themselves, but us, and particularly the landing fleets, so that we would be able to tolerate your atmosphere. And we don't mean the quality of oxygen. We mean the emotional atmosphere of Earth.
It's hard for us to tolerate.
Yes, it is very difficult. And that is why we are always shaking our heads and wondering what's taking so long to change it.
Oh, we wonder that too.
I know you do. All my beloved light workers and light holders are saying exactly the same thing. And that is why so many of you, some knowing, some unknowing, spend a great deal of your sleeping R&R time up here on ship so that you can be fortified to keep going.
Right.
But that's what's required.
Mm.
We're not saying that all the divine qualities need to be anchored. We do not see ourselves as substantially different. But one of the things that we have learned is to hold those lesser vibrations, the hatred, the mayhem, the willingness to kill, the willingness to let your neighbor starve, the willingness to live in societies where someone has everything and another person sleeps in the street. We have learned that that doesn't work.
Right.
Now, Archangel Michael has said to you, you collectively, that you have need to reach a place where this is simply not acceptable.
Right.
For us, we know, and that you should never forget, that there will always be a residue of the old third, so that you don't forget. It is the same with us. No, we're not in the third dimension. We tend to be slightly in the fifth, but more in the seventh and eighth. But we remember how dangerous, literally to our survival, it is to engage in those emotions, those qualities, those actions of hatred, of killing. We can't do it.
Well,
we won't do it.
Yes.
So we work from afar. We're trying to adjust. Well, we aren't just trying. We are making our adjustments in your frequency and in ours so that we can come together. One of the rationales, the workaround that we all came up with as a result of the Intergalactic Council directive was that we would have the what you would refer to as boots on the ground so that you would get used to us. Now, you are encountering us. Now, let us tell you how you see us. We have made sure, regardless of the humanoid form that we are adopting, that we have what we would call stars in our eyes, that there are pinpricks and starbursts of light in our eyes, that we are kind, that we are gentle, strong, but gentle, considerate. You won't discover one of your star brothers and sisters pushing in front of you at the grocery. They may yield their place and engage you in conversation. So this is how you know us. We are often, usually actually, tall. It's just our way. We also like to be able to see what's going on.
Well,
so,
okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Now, Susie,
mm-hmm.
my sister,
mm.
I am telling you this, all of you, frankly and honestly, perhaps more frankly than we ever have, so that you do know what's required. We had said time and time again, we won't come in a situation that is going to evoke fear.
Right.
And as you, well, some of you know, that is exactly what went awry with the proposed trip for some of you to the Neptune.
Right.
Is that it was couched in the threat of violence, and we could never allow that.
Right.
We will not engage in violence. But the good news is you're almost there. There is a handful of people, humans, yes, still working out their issues. But the populace is tired of war, is tired of chaos, is tired of inequity, is tired of have and have not. And more importantly, they see through the charades that these so-called leaders are playing. So the populace is at the tipping point. And I might say we have our hand on that scale. And we are helping for the populace to simply say no more. Even those who are wearing battle fatigues and sitting in tanks, in machine gun nests, in the caves, on the plains, they are so weary of heart. They don't sit there thinking, I can't wait to pull a trigger or throw a grenade and kill somebody. What they are thinking of is, I wish I was home holding my newborn baby.
Yeah. Well, you know, being tired of the way things are and being able to live from the heart are two different things completely. I'm just wondering if the, you know, the tsunami of love is designed to, you know, wash all those fears and doubts away so that we can just be in our hearts, all of us. I mean, because
that is exactly what the tsunami is designed for. It is a cleansing. And it is the cleansing that the mother is giving Gaia, well, giving humanity, to wash away the debris so that only the brightness of each being's divinity is left, and the knowing of that divinity.
So the effect of the tsunami on people who are already living from the heart, will that serve to help restore us to full memory? Because we would be so much more efficient and powerful in our abilities to help the shift along.
You are the new leadership.
Yes. We want to get on with it. It just seems
and
like...
you are getting on with it. First, the tiredness, the weariness of war. And we think of war as all types of conflict or confrontation. Had to happen. Because if that was not present, what would happen with the tsunami is that it would mostly short-circuit people and they would die. The energy is that strong. So they are ready. And might I suggest, we are ready, you are ready, and the mother has already begun opening the floodgates.
Oh, yay. So that brings me to, what significance does the coming equinox have, and what can we expect for the second half of March?
Miracles.
Yay.
Yes. Now, miracles to you is every day to us. And I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. I mean, expect the unexpected. And expect the fulfillment of what you have been waiting for on many, many fronts.
Okay.
Political, societal, financial, cultural. Does it all happen in one day, one of your days, where all of a sudden everything ceases? No, but does happen like a domino. And the good news is that the dominoes have already started falling. You are already in that catalytic conversion process, and it won't be stopped. It would take, well, the mother could always stop it, but she has no intention of it. Her design of which we are also a part of, is for this to increase, not to halt. So what you are looking at, and you do tend to look to things like the equinox and the time of revitalization, of rebirth, of spring, there is nothing more exciting than springtime on Gaia.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you there. It's a miracle.
It is a miracle of regeneration, of rebirth. It is the reminder to each and every human being that recovery, rediscovery, regeneration, rejuvenation is the way of this planet.
Well, so I know that we've been working together already in a form of energy work, okay? We're a partnership already. I haven't gotten much confirmation beyond that warm, fuzzy feeling of being in service. Can we look forward to a more tangible and unmistakable partnership with you, meaning the collective you, in cleaning up the planet?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, Gaia and we, the collective we, as you put it, have already been working diligently for a long time.
Right.
Now, one of the major things that we are doing right now, as you know, we have spoken of once again for the first time in over 50 years, we are bathing the planet in pink.
Mm.
And so not only Gaia herself, but all of humanity. It is our contribution to the preparation for the fullness of the tsunami. And it is a very gentle pink, but if you allow your eyes to go a little out of focus and you look at the air around you, you will notice there is a pink tinge to it. That is us, and that is part of our partnership. So, yes, we are in conscious partnership.
Yes.
But let us also throw something into the mix. We are in service to you. So often, and because of the history of the human collective and the way that control and so-called leadership has been historically experienced, you tend to think of yourself in service to a cause, to the mother, to a leader, to a country, etc.
Right.
And then you tend to think you are in service to the masters, you are in service to the archangels, and you are in service to us.
Mm-hmm.
So let us be very clear on this. We are as much, and in the beginning of our interactions, face-to-face, hand-to-hand, heart-to-heart, we are far more in service to you. And we are thrilled. We are excited about it.
I am too.
Because there's a lot to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how to do it. So you don't have to try, for example, and fix the plumbing if you have a plumber in the house. Well, we know how to fix many of the ailing of what is wrong and what you would like to rectify.
Yes.
So, yes, we will be tangibly, physically, face to face, not in dream time, not in bilocation to be on board ship, but on Gaia, in form.
You know, surely you can feel how much, well, so much of the collective, the people that I know all want that so very much. So,
and can we say this?
Mm-hmm.
Because we've talked a lot, and I thank you for allowing me to talk a lot.
Mm-hmm.
About this frequency business, about the vibration business.
Yeah.
And when you, and all of you who are listening, and far beyond, when you are holding that anxiousness, that excitement, that yearning
mm-hmm.
in your heart for us to be with you, it raises the frequency. It raises the vibration, it gives us full permission, and it matches our vibration, our yearning, our excitement, our readiness. So please, don't stop.
No. I don't think I could. All right.
You never have.
No. I'm so grateful for this conversation, and I really look forward to having more of them. All right, so I just have one more quickie, and then we'll go to a couple of callers if it's all right. Would it be accurate to say that we won't see prosperity packages released or a global currency reset until the cabal has been, in effect, disabled? And are you able to offer a status on that situation?
No. Prosperity reset, abundance packages, everything you're thinking of that falls into those categories is
mm-hmm.
part of the defeat of the cabal.
Right.
So it is not dependent upon the cabal being completely what you call the cabal, what we call recalcitrance.
Okay.
it is not dependent. That would give them far too much power, and
right.
they've had enough power.
I'll say.
So, no, it is not dependent on that.
All right.
And that is why, dear friend, it is already underway. You
okay.
will be seeing tangible results very quickly.
All right. Good news. Very good news. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Gosh, this has just been awesome. And I really, really looking forward to having you back on the show to talk about ancient Egypt and life on ships and all that sort of thing. So shall we go on to a couple of callers then?
I would be honored.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Okay. So we are on to area code 724. Are you with us?
Yes. Hello.
Hello?
Good morning.
Hi. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity, Commander Ashira. If I may, the points at which intervention is able to occur and not able to occur, I understand, you know, you don't advocate, of course, anything that deals with injuring another, so that's understandable. But to help the awakening process, something like the plane disappearance, the people are, the families that is, and other people that are involved and have issues and connections with people that were on board that plane are in some sort of, you know, fear and worry already. But if that plane would be happen to be put into a different dimension temporarily and people are safe, and then that would maybe help spur the momentum and awakening process through people questioning how can a plane without any debris left just disappear completely and then maybe appear again in a later time or, you know, linear here on Earth, that kind of thing. And just get your thoughts on that. I do appreciate it, and I thank you, and I love you.
And I love you, my friend. And I love the loyalty that you have shown and demonstrated for many years. Now, as I have said, this disappearance of the Malaysian plane was not our doing. But your question is bigger than that, is it not? It is, could we basically interdimensionally shift a plane and then allow it to reappear? Yes, we could
do that.
With
not
everybody.
Not for hocus pocus, but for reasons, if you will, but, you know, for honest...
No, it is simply a matter of
an increase
of
in acceleration of awakening. Yeah, that's all.
Because we would not do this to think. Think of the fear because of your media, because of your governments, that would cause if all of a sudden there was a knowing that we could pick up jumbo jets and put them down somewhere else. This would give entire economies, rather than feeding the poor, would then be funneled into military technology. And that is the last thing we want. We want the heart awakening, which has been occurring. You see, this is one of the things that happened during the intergalactic wars, was the shifting in between dimensions, realities, and what you would think of as super technology. And in that slippage, in that transfer, planets were destroyed. Every inhabitant on the planet was killed. So we're not going to employ that, because even on Earth, because there are so many starseeds and brave ones who have volunteered to oversee, yes, oversee this ascension process, it would evoke those memories and those concerns that level of technology had been implemented again. We won't do it.
Okay.
Now, will we do other things to assist in the awakening? Yes, we will.
Indeed.
And we are. Do you remember when we did a flyby at the London Olympics?
Oh, yes.
And nobody remembers or comments. There have been massive flyovers, and the next day they are covered up by the powers that be, to which the media comply. So it is not that we have not given evidence. It is that the evidence is buried and ignored.
It can't be unfeasible.
But we are not going to stop.
Good.
In fact, we are upping it.
Excellent. Okay. All right. Thank you for your call. We are on to area code 949. Are you with us?
Yes. Hi, John.
Hi,
Okita.
Welcome.
I wanted to see if you can explain to me what is going on at the volcan in Mexico City. It's called Popocatépetl. It's like a group of guys it's called Tercer Milenio. These guys are entirely and dedicated to have a contact with you guys. They even do like a whole night show, you know, like a day. They watch the with cameras and everything, you know, like for 8 to 10 hours constantly to see if they can see you, you know, on top of this mountain, I mean, this volcano in Mexico City. Have you noticed them? I mean, they have seen many, you know, UFOs, what they call it, in the cameras, but they really are anxious to get in contact with you guys. I don't know, have you seen them?
There are many such projects underway, of which this is just one of them. Both in the United States, in Mexico, in Latin America, all over Europe, Australia as well. And so it is not, as we are saying, it is not that there is not ample photographic evidence of our, well, you, what you are seeing is, of course, the smaller ships, but nevertheless, you are very conscious of our ships. But the way that we are making contact, rather right now, rather than massive contact, is person to person to person to person. Because what some of those beings that are looking to see the ships and to identify them, which is good work, is they are looking still for a landing and for beings that are very different alien to come forth. And that is not the way that we are going to present ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's beautiful. All right, so we have 5 minutes left. Is there anything that you would like to say in closing?
What I would like to say in closing is how much we love the people of Earth.
Mm.
Have we traveled from afar? Our particular fleet? Yes, we have. And I will tell you that 87% of my fleet is still in the outer galaxies.
Oh, wow.
I command from a distance.
Mm.
But we have come here. There is a historical connection between us. You are the return of the creator race.
Mm.
You are a group of humans, of beautiful souls, that have decided, because you know innately the importance and the value of community, of heart union, that you would ascend as one, that the individual ascension, as marvelous and as fulfilling as it is nothing compared to going as one into a new realm of being. Your heart and your bodies are not only persistent and consistent, you are stalwart. You say, whether it is to me or to my friend Ashtar or to Michael or to the mother, you have one consistent question, and that is when. But your patience, your fortitude, your faith has really never wavered. Think of it from our perspective. Yes, we look down and there is a group of people playing power games and doing things that are very unacceptable and untenable. But you collectively have pure hearts. Your purity, your vibration, Gaia's call for help and your call for help has gone out throughout the multiverse thousands of years ago. Not 70 years ago, not 100 years ago. We have been in sacred partnership for a long, long time, for thousands and thousands of years. We walked the earth during the time of Atlantis. We were best friends. Mm. And that time, the renewal of that friendship, of our kinship, is not 10,000 years hence. It's not 70 years hence. It is now.
Yay.
Right now.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm really looking forward to more, and I'm just blown away. Thank you so much.
I bring you all of our love and greetings from the unified forces of the outer galaxies.
Mm. Much love to all.
Go in peace.
Farewell.
Farewell. Play some pure light within you. God.